Welcome to Bagel Tech Mac, the Mac show from the Bagel Tech Network, which deals with all things Mac, clues in the title again. And we've got our fantastic panel here, Don Fanboy McAllister, who's struggling at the moment with his commitment to Apple brand, which we're going to talk about a bit later on, mate. You may have a bit of a problem there. How are you doing, mate?
I'm okay. You tease, I don't know. All I said was moan when you were moaning about some equipment before not working again, and I'm suddenly an Apple fanboy now. So.
Well, I'm not the only one that's got some equipment that's not working again.
Well, never mind. No, I'm fine. Had a good week. Lots of some more production this week, so just the usual stuff.
Did I tell you I copied all your mistakes? When you know your Lion installation video.
Oh, right, yeah.
I thought I'll have that running while I do my Lion installation, and I copied all your mistakes. Thank you. Every cock-up you made, I made.
And there weren't that many.
Well, there was, but I was a bit quicker, because when you did something, I thought, well, it's Don McAllister, I can trust him, so I'll click OK.
This is making the actual Flash thing. That's an experience. That's a learning experience.
And then you went back and get, oh, no, I better not do that. You bastard, I've already done it!
Yeah, well, you've learned from it, though.
Name was mud, I'm telling you, McAllister.
Never mind.
Back after a significant absence, Mr. Andy and Echo. How's it going, mate?
Thank you. Oh, great. Great to be back. After my explorations of both poles and part of the Pacific Rim. It had to be done.
Moving on from the rim. That was what got us last time, wasn't it? How have you been all summer?
Hanging on. I've been working on a bunch of books about Lion and iOS, which has led to me about losing about 3 weeks of my life so far. I'm not talking about time. I mean, that is however long my life was going to be before I started working on these books, after doing all these changes, after Apple does every single new announcement and keeps releasing betas that kind of work, but not really. It's about a little bit less my lifespan's going to be. I'm not going to miss those 3 weeks. It's not like I was going to do anything with that time, but still, it stinks.
That's the beauty of being a journalist, mate. You've got the vocabulary to string out "it's crap, I hate it" into a book.
Well, it got a lot easier after, you know, we got global cut and paste in these apps. Just Command V, done.
Excellent.
I'm being paid by the word count and the page count, not by the content. Good to know.
But you can go on with the best of them, can't you, mate? The interesting thing as well, the last time you were here on my fake birthday, and now you're here on my real birthday. So, hey.
Hey.
My official and unofficial. I'm like the queen.
Give you a gift voucher that's at least twice what I gave you on the fake one.
Good man. Thank you. Below him, we've got Alex Fox.
Good afternoon.
Where are you?
Oh, hang on. It's all gone wrong. Thanks.
What's gone wrong? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm all right. You seem to disappear.
No, I'm here. So, how's you been? You've let your beard grow again.
Well, I've been digging holes all week.
I was going to say, or have you just been in bed all week?
No, not this week. I'm not sure why you got me on with all these people that actually know what they're talking about.
Ballast, mate. That's all. Ballast.
Oh, thank goodness for that. No cogent arguments for me, I hope.
So you're like those huge tortoises in the hold of the ship?
Exactly. And I can store water.
If the journey goes wrong, we'll be eating you?
Yeah, that's right. I've got 4 gallons in my stomach.
If Apple ever go back to making a camera, Alex will be a regular on this show, that's for sure.
You're blimmin' right.
And finally, from the Philippines, Mr. Carl Swagger.
Hello.
How's it going?
90% humidity going.
Oh, nice one.
It's like one of these times, like, where you actually turn the fan on in the house and the air is so thick, it doesn't even want to pass through it.
Yeah, I've done sort of 90% humidity, and it was in the States, and it was the fan, it was like having a hairdryer in your face. There was nothing good about it. Nothing good at all. No. The week in Apple. We've had an awful lot go on in the last 24 hours. I was sitting thinking yesterday, oh, bloody hell, we've got the big show coming up, and bugger all's happened apart from Google. And lo and behold, HP drop a bomb, an earthquake, a Hiroshima, nay. I'd be interested to hear what you guys got to think about the take on the HP announcement of a new tablet coming, and then 8 hours later that it's actually not coming. And what the impact is going to be from an Apple viewpoint. Andy, just start us off.
It really is big news. I mean, HP is one of those names that's been absolutely synonymous with, like, desktop PCs. So the bad news is that if you bought a $499 touchpad tablet, that they're getting rid of all of them. They're not doing them anymore. They're getting completely out of the handheld business. But that was already like enough to get you kind of steamed, even if you weren't one of the, let's call them, the lucky 25,000 people who bought touchpads. It's not surprising. I mean, yes, HP screwed over a lot of people, but actually, the problem was that they didn't screw over enough people, because 25,000 tablets sold based on 250,000 tablets shipped in the U.S. That's not a large number. It's a large number of times to be hit in the chest with a paintball, but it's not a large number of consumer items to ship. But I was all day in meetings when I'm just keeping up my Twitter feed, like, oh, they canceled the touchpad. Oh, that's stupid. Idiots, morons. Why don't they have faith in their product? They're jerks. And then you read the rest of what they announced during their sales call. They're actually pulling completely out of the hardware market completely. And again, I mean, HP, that's what they're one of like the top, usually either the top or at least number two or three makers of PCs in the world. And they've decided that, oddly enough, making 3 cents profit on every single like $8 laptop they ship is not a really good business model, especially in a world where Apple can sell something incredibly hot and incredibly cool and modern and multi-touch tablety for $499. So they're decided that they just wanted, oddly enough, Steve Jobs announced that we are now living in the post PC world. What HP has done with their entire business now is that they've said that we want to be part of the pre PC world. We want to be more like IBM, where we don't really make our money by selling hardware. We make our money by selling services to huge corporations, which is what they're doing now.
And WebOS has become OS 2. Don, I mean, is this an incredibly sensible and forthright and an insightful move, or have they dropped the ball a bit?
Well, I don't know. It's a very brave move. I mean, imagine the discussions that went on to actually, you know, make such a huge announcement. It must have taken an awful lot of guts and gumption, but they must have seen the writing on the wall. I mean, you know, with the sales figures that they've had, they weren't making an impression at all, which has probably thrown them, completely off course. But I'm a bit saddened, to be honest, because I think Apple, although we love the iPad, you know, we love Apple products, et cetera, but they really do need to have some competition, some valid competition. Absolutely. To make them, you know, move forward. And they're just dropping off like flies. It's unbelievable that people just can't hold a candle to what they've created with the iPad. It's pretty amazing, really.
Is this the problem that we've got, though, that actually we're in a situation now where Apple is so bountiful in terms of cash and powerful in terms of purchasing, in that it can buy up every available piece of processor, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, it's partly that, but mainly they've just come out with such a stellar product. They've come out literally with an unbeatable product.
Said the fanboy.
No, I mean, you know, I think anyone who can take an unimpassioned look at what's going on, you know, they're selling more than they can actually produce. So, you know, it's a huge hit, and people just can't compete. Now, whether that's because of the price or because of the lack of innovation, I think it's more of the latter. I think the people just, you know, Apple were first out the door with it. They've got it just right, and people are really struggling to actually, you know, follow it up.
Carl, anything to add?
Well, I'm just saddened by actually the whole thing. I mean, I said it before that it was one of these things where it was going to be, I want to say, kind of a same concept sort of thing of what Apple's doing with iOS. It was going to be WebOS, the whole cross-platform thing. Probably HP, we said a long time ago, was going to be one of the first people that were actually going to be able to maybe take Apple on. Maybe not head-on, but at least on. And I guess the consumer, honestly, in the end, actually loses. And by the way, I'm loving my out-of-body experience.
What's that?
Apparently, I'm in Andy Anako's chair, and Andy's not there. I don't know. Seen the chat room saying something about it. Apparently, Andy's me. I don't know how, but
I don't know how either.
I think the lower thirds on the post are interchanged slightly. They are. I think he's Will Green now.
Oh, the lower thirds are cocked. I haven't done those.
Now I'm Will Green, yeah.
Now you Will Green.
Yeah. God. Fantastic.
I've had enough. I'm going home. You guys have a nice chat.
Look, I'm the one who's like got up super, super early. It's 1 p.m. You start drinking that early?
Well, no, actually, yeah, we do sometimes. Oh, that's, Will Green's usually had two or three.
A bit less guilty about what's in this cup.
Yeah, Jack and Coke for breakfast. Alex, what's your take on this? Because, I mean, from a photographer's viewpoint, I'm sure that HP probably never figured it much in your life anyway, but...
Well, they did with printers. But yeah. I don't think this is as big a coincidence as people are saying it is. I mean, it is a shock, but not a coincidence. If, for instance, HP and Google had a conversation and Google told possibly HP that they were going to go and buy a Motorola, or that part of Motorola anyway, it makes sense to say for HP to say, you know what, let's let Google buy Motorola and let them take on Apple. Let them have all the trouble, the headache, and the, if you like, opportunity as well. Because of, what was happening is Google buying Motorola meant the software company had bought a hardware company, and that put them in a position where, lots of money and a bit of time, they may be able to try and take on Apple in the same, on the same level as Apple, because they make the hardware and the software. So does Google. HP couldn't compete in that market anymore. And once Google had come in, maybe given HP the nod and said, here's an opportunity for you to possibly get out of it, sell us your patents, we can get a bigger patent portfolio going, and maybe we can take on Apple with the hardware and the software together by buying Motorola, I think it makes more sense when you look at it that way. And to me, it's really, really important that Google do take them on, because of innovation could slow down dramatically if Apple haven't got any competitor that they need to be one step ahead of. So to me, it's not a surprise.
Andy, do you think that HP have really just kind of looked at the situation in the market, looked at what Apple are doing, looking at how they can throttle sales, how they can throttle pre-purchase of items, that kind of stuff, and just walked away and gone, tell you what, have it.
Yeah, that's exactly the situation. And really, this is much, much bigger than just the Palm Pre, than the phones and tablets. Really is, they're getting out of everything. They want no part of laptops. In the analysts call them out these announcements, and they announced that they were absolutely terminating touchpad and WebOS hardware, and they said that they were looking at every single option about what they wanted to do with their hardware business. And that pretty much means that they're looking to sell off that business unit or spin it off as its own separate company. So at this point, they have decided that they are not a company that's agile enough or savvy enough to know how to make really good, decent, relevant hardware that they can sell at a good profit. It really is a difference between, do you want to be the company like Apple that has a very small part of the overall marketplace, but makes a huge, huge markup on every single thing they do, which means that they're always making profits on everything they do. Or do you want to keep having to chase after more and more and more new consumers because you're making such little money on each one? So this really is. I mean, Apple has to be credited with this kill because it's not only a victory of the iPad. In a way, it could be seen as a victory for Apple's whole way of doing business. We all make fun of the Apple tax, and rightly so, because so many people just simply can't buy a Mac because they can't afford a minimum $1,000 buy-in to become an Apple notebook owner. But it turns out that this is one of the things that's keeping this company in particular very, very, very successful.
I mean, there's an interesting point to lead into here, that there was a study that was out this week saying that the investment, emotional investment in technology brands in some cases is too high. And in thinking about where we're at with Don being a real fanboy and me as well, because I was rooting for OS in inverted commas, and Eric Lanigan said to me last night on the big show, it's kind of shame because you were rooting for a WebOS. And I said, yeah, but I couldn't get into a car and drive 3 miles down to the local phone store and pick up a phone with it on and even try it. I was just rooting for it as a concept. I couldn't get my arse out of a chair to go and do anything, though.
The thing is, I really did think that the touchpad was going to be some, viable alternative to the iPad. And I actually did want them to succeed, even though, we'll get rid of this fanboy thing for once and for all. I really did want them to succeed. I thought they were the only ones probably that could actually give some credible opposition to Apple. But the thing is, and I think Andy hit the nail on the head, is the agility. When the touchpad came out, it was 2 years old. It was actually It looks as though, and I read today as well, someone, that it was actually designed to compete against the iPad 1, the original iPad. And you only have to look at the device to see that's, in fact, the case. And WebOS didn't run on it as well as it could do because it's old technology. Again, I read somewhere today that, I don't know how, but someone has actually run WebOS on an iPad 2 platform. It runs twice as quickly. And the company's just so large, they're just not agile enough to change quickly and say, right, okay, that's, you know, put that one to bed and we'll bring out a new model in the next 6 months, because they hadn't planned this 2 years ago. You know, Apple have been planning iPad 1 and iPad 2 for the past 3 or 4 years, and they've got all the ducks in a row, and they can actually produce these, you know, at a sensible time. Whereas a huge company like HP, when they're always on the back foot and they're trying to catch up, it's just not going to happen for them.
Yeah. I mean, it really is a shame. I've been preparing I've had a touchpad in the office for the past 3 weeks, and I was going to be publishing my review this week. and really, my review was going to be a positive one. It has to start with pretty much the same way that almost every tablet review starts off with, saying that, well, if you're going to be selling a tablet for the same amount of money as an iPad, you have to be hugely better than an iPad, and this isn't it. But it was still an excellent system. It was my favorite non-iPad on the market, and the way that I was looking at it was that at $499, you don't really think much about it, but then they almost immediately dropped the price to $399, and it started to become interesting. And then retailers here in the U.S., you know, HP has so many different retail channels that you can find a store that's doing a $50 discount, or has a certain rebate coupon, or has a certain offer that would bring it down to below $350. And below $350, that's when it starts being, geez, if you don't have $500 for an iPad, the touchpad is a really nice piece of hardware. You can the Kindle app comes, the Kindle app is in the App Store, has a good web browser, good mail client, a couple of good text editors. But $350, man, I can almost recommend it. And if actually these HP in that part of that same call announced that they're taking a $100 million write-off of all their existing inventory of the touchpad, if these things start entering like the really deep discount channel, like if you can buy one for less than $250 or less than $200, that might actually still be a really cool thing to own. So it's a damn shame that it didn't that Palm was not bought out by a smaller company that could simply say, look, we've got enough investor capital that we can sort of eat it for a year while we get every single important developer really interested in building software. I really did think that I don't think that Google has what it takes to really compete with Apple. They just don't know what they're doing when it comes to tablet space. I thought that the WebOS, though, really had a lot of potential, and man, am I sad to see it go.
Carl, you were going to say that?
I was just going to say, I mean, I don't know what futuristic person was living and working at HP, and why hype this thing up so much? Didn't they foresee this thing coming and all the? I mean, just a month ago, we were saying, "Oh, this is great! Look at this! It's fantastic! It's smooth, and it's coming soon." And then a week before it's coming, they drop this. I mean, who screwed up at HP? Making me wonder.
Even yesterday, while all this news was spinning around, it like three times an hour here in the U.S. there was like the HP commercials about, you know, the ad campaign where noted celebrities that you kind of have heard about are holding HPs in front of their faces and swiping their noses to show you things. Things up on the HP side about saying, hey, now we have the white version available. Now we're announcing that there's going to be a 4G version available. So, and they've also, the people in the WebOS software group have very, very hurriedly said that, oh, by the way, everyone's going to get together next week and we're going to talk about our licensing opportunities, because WebOS is still going forward. Remember that HP is thinking about licensing us. So clearly this was not a sort of saturated decision that was made at all areas of the company. You're absolutely right. It seems as though this is the really awful situation in anybody works for a large company who suddenly realizes that, gee, everybody but me has been called into the conference room for a big meeting about the future of the company. I guess they really have faith in my plans for the company, because they feel as though they don't need to waste my valuable time.
Step forward if you've got a parking space in the executive car park. Not so fast, Smith.
Josh, you want to meet me in the human resources office and bring everything in your desk with you? No, nothing. We're having your office painted, which is why we want to make sure to take down all your posters and and your security card. We're giving you a new security card.
There's no TV adverts with the HP touchpad. That was my idea. Thank you. Comments in the chat room. Storm saying Apple had a 1 year lead in releasing iPad to market, but it's more like a 4 or 5 year lead in innovation and technology, which is a great point. Gaz is saying HP just don't seem to be able to see where the sales are coming from. Is that really the case? And they've jumped out of it because they didn't see where it was going to go and what was going to happen. Some really good points there. I mean, the one thing that happened this week as well, which I wanted to explore the question of whether the situation with Apple at the moment is a healthy or an unhealthy one. Now, obviously, you know, Don's said that he thinks obviously Apple need competition, so therefore that would be unhealthy that HP has demised. There was a thing this week also with the Santa Monica planning department where Apple have wanted a store there, and they've come up with this fantastic looking design. It looks absolutely gorgeous, of a completely curved glass roof. And you're going to love to be in there in a rainstorm until you actually hear it, and then you're probably going to need ear defenders, I would have thought. But the planning department met and very briefly passed it. There was no discussion. Is that healthy or unhealthy? Because I've got to say, when someone makes a planning application, it shouldn't matter who you are or how good it looks. You've got to go through the protocol, surely.
Money talks, doesn't it?
Say again, Alex.
Same, money talks. I mean, it's the same thing that went on with the headquarters. They were umming and ahhing until Steve Jobs stood up in front of them, wowed them in a 10-minute Steve Jobs special, and they were all kowtowing and, you know, oh, yeah, please do whatever you like. I mean, I think it's a really big, it's a good sign of the power Apple have over the entire world of technology, plus obviously the entire world of planning applications as well at the moment. They cannot, it's the same with, I mean, I was just quickly going back to that HP thing. Something occurred to me. It's with all this patent business going on and being able to stall things in various courtrooms around the world to stop launches of various things. If HP at some point discovered that there may be something in there that Apple may be able to object to, just possibly, maybe they thought, you know what, this isn't worth it. We've done this, we've done that, and it can be halted. So let's call it a day. I think the whole thing is all about this unbelievable power that Apple have to do whatever they want at the moment. It's almost, if you take Apple and Google, they're the same sort of balance now that Microsoft were to Apple 10 years ago. Now, Apple are the big players and are the Microsoft, and now Google are who Apple were. And I think it's just a sign of the times that, you know, it will change. Give it a few more years and maybe Google, Motorola will come forward. But I think it's just a sign of the times showing just how utterly powerful they are as a company and as a flag bearer for the US economy, if you like. And people are too scared to knock possibly the main positive economic news in America.
Good point. Mm. And no one else wants to say anything about that subject. You pussies, you're all scared.
No. I think Alex hit it right. I think money does talk, but I don't see anything different from Apple doing this, from any other big company doing this. Get the ball rolling, get the red tape out of the way so we can get started, so we can push forward. That's the way it's always been. If you're a powerful company with a lot of money, anybody's done these kind of things. Is it healthy? Hell no, it isn't healthy.
Ford Motor Company, no. GM.
Yeah.
I think one of the problems, though, is that it's not so much that they're big and powerful. We all know they are big and powerful, and they've got tons of money. It seems to me that they're not actually using that power, but everyone seems to be very deferential to them. So people, you know...
Yeah.
It seems a bit crazy, really. I mean, that thing when they did the new Cupertino campus, I mean, that was just cringeworthy. It was awful to watch because they were literally bowing down to him. You know, there was no... they just didn't follow the correct protocol as far as I'm concerned. You know, there should have been a much more straight-laced, much more formal sort of appraisal of the proposal. But it's this deferential thing that people have with Apple now. And I don't think it's something they actually promote, but I think it's just baggage that comes along with being such a hugely powerful and successful company.
Well, I think there are two different things at work here. I think that Cupertino is a factory town, and when the factory company that puts $300 million into the local economy says that we want to tear down a huge parcel of ugly buildings, put in a really beautiful building, and essentially keep all of our jobs and all of our money in this town, you are probably going to get a complimentary soda, a handshake, and swift approval. Also, this is, excuse me, it's not as though in Santa Monica they were offering to, they're saying, well, we've got all these tenements that poor people live in. We'd like to evict them all and build a lithium processing plant that blows smoke right into the school department. It's more like, you guys got a pedestrian mall that has the Starbucks and the Pinkberry and that Borders bookstore that's closing. We want to build an architecturally significant, incredibly pretty building that's going to be open to the public. And not only put money into the economy, but also to, again, build something that actually makes Santa Monica look something better than Santa Monica. So those are separate issues. But I think that it is true that Apple is really in the position right now where, in so many things, if Apple introduced a new version of the Air where it was just a sheet of aluminum, where's the screen? You don't need it. No keyboard. Nope, don't need that either. Ports. Thing of the past. This is part of the future. I'm not saying there'd be no criticism, but there'd be a percentage of the population that would at least be willing to give it a try. And that's something that absolutely no other tech company enjoys at this stage.
Well, Don would polish it.
Oh, boy. I'm just it's early. I've been awake for about a half an hour, and even I know not to make jokes along those lines. That's interesting, though.
Sorry, Don.
But I do agree that
I get it out of the way for this week, and then we'll start afresh next week.
All right, mate. Sorry.
I do wish Apple had better, more competition, though. That's what I miss the most about HP's announcement of losing the touchpad. I really thought that a year from now, Apple could be in a position of saying, "Gads, we are actually losing some sales to this really cool $299 touchpad." Where no, it's not the best display. No, it's not the fastest processor. No, it's not the largest library. But it's something that people can actually afford. So I really think that the next possible contender is going to be from Amazon. That if Amazon were to decide to build an Android tablet, they would do this so correctly by, first of all, redoing Android so that the UI makes actual sense, making sure it's a very task-focused device. They know how to build things so that they're affordable. And also, this is something I keep coming back to, and I'm not joking about the significance of this. Jeff Bezos, the head of Amazon, he's building his own private space fleet. So this is a guy who understands the idea that I'm going to be putting a lot of money in early on. I'm not going to get a return for 3 or 4 or 5 years, but as I'm convinced this is the right way to go, and as soon as this starts hitting, boy, is this going to be a big deal for our company. So this is that's exactly what they did with the Kindle, where they started selling ebook readers well before there was a real market for it, and now two or three years on. If you don't see somebody with an iPad in their hands, you see them with a Kindle in their hands. Hmm. So they could produce a really good $250 color 10-inch multi-touch tablet that would be built all around the experience of buying books, buying music, watching movies. It would also have a good web browser. It would have a good mail client, and it would have its own app store behind it. Those are all things that Amazon has right now. But the whole deal is that they would know how to make a $250 tablet that people could immediately relate to. And that, I think, I'm really hopeful that's part of Amazon's plans right now.
Interestingly enough, that John Rubenstein, who's the guy in charge of WebOS, who came from Apple, is actually on Amazon's board. Mm. So they've got a link into WebOS that way. So that would be very interesting to see if they actually took it over from HP.
And one of the things that I've been thinking in the last few weeks is, you know, everyone's gone on about Steve Jobs being the man of the century, nay, the millennium. But if you look at some of the people that have departed Apple in recent months, I mean, I noticed today that Andy Miller's leaving. He's the guy who did mobile iAds. Is there a strength in depth in Apple? And actually, you look at Jobs and you say that Apple's nothing without Jobs. I think quite the reverse is true. there's an indoctrination that's gone on. There's an entrepreneurial skill that goes through the company. And with the people that are leaving being so significant, the retail guy, Andy Miller, you know, there is a strength in depth there of people coming forward like a row of shark's teeth. And the shark's teeth may be the best analogy. You know, Apple has got this ability. It has got this strength in depth.
It's not only a strength in depth, though, isn't it? I mean, if you think the caliber of people that are leaving, they are probably leaving because their power, their ethos, the reason they started doing what they're doing possibly is changing, and therefore they're being usurped by a structure rather than their entrepreneurship. You know, their ideas aren't necessarily ideas anymore. It's being filtered down from the top, and you've got very capable people, but they're being told what their idea will be and how to move on. You know, it's a structure of a company that used to be on more levels. I think it's all now feeding down from the top. And the people that feel that they are possibly better and deserve more than just being told what limitations to work in are going somewhere else where they're going to be given the opportunity to do what they originally did at Apple. I think that's a good thing for all the other companies as well, because of that innovation, that spark and excitement will be brought to them by these people that want more than just to be doing what they're told to do. So I think it's a good thing for everyone else.
I kind of agree with that, but with a modification. I don't think that they feel frustrated and pushed out. I think that in a lot of these really good advanced companies, they attract the best people, the most ambitious, the most brightest people. And every company you look at, like, for instance, Industrial Light and Magic, you think, wow, my dream job is to work for ILM. They attract the sort of people who, after 4 or 5 years, they get a little bit restless, where they feel as though they've done this, they've figured out, they've had a really good success building up Apple's retail channel. Their next thought is, well, great, so now I sit back and enjoy my empire. It's, what's the next thing I can do? But I built this up based on one of the best tech companies in the world, led by one of the most focused and charismatic leaders in any industry. What would happen if I tried to? And now I've got this opportunity to run JCPenney, which is sort of a mid-market, not very interesting, makers of, you know, $20 sweaters, not the makers of the hottest tablet in the world. Wouldn't that be interesting? What challenges would I be dealing with? What work could I do there? And that's what sends them off to listen to these other offers. Not the idea of, oh, geez, no, he's got me building a store in Santa Monica.
I mean, it's interesting that if you look for stories of Ron Johnson and you try and look at who's replaced him, there's no stories out there. There's no press releases about who's replaced him. So I think they've probably replaced him from internally. Which again is that idea of the fact that there is a strength in depth coming through. Carl, you had a point there.
Well, my point is at the end of the day, wherever these people go and whatever they're wanting to do in their lives, and if Amazon gets them, if Google gets them or whatever, I'm not buying an iPad from them. I'm buying the iPad from Steve Jobs. Why? Because Steve Jobs is at the front of the stage telling me how great this device is. Even though I can't afford it, and even though I might max out my credit card to do it, I'm still going to get it because the guy knows how to sell. And I think with the other guys going to the other places, I think Andy actually touched on this. Amazon will probably be the next best thing to what HP could have actually probably done because we trust the name. We've been customers of Amazon for so many years now. We trust the name. Google, on the other hand, you don't really associate these things with. It's only now that we're starting to associate it with Android and these kind of things. But we still associate Google with search. We don't see Larry at the front of the stage going, "Hey, you know, buy this great new tablet. It's going to be fantastic, man." It doesn't have the same persona. It doesn't have the same impact power that Jobs have. And I still will kind of stand by it and sit here and maybe for a few years after Jobs decides to leave and calls it a day with Apple, it might continue to go on. But I think that sales presence that Apple currently has right now is because of that man.
Tom?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think it's a whole culture in Apple. I think Apple have a culture which just promotes these people and, you know, enables them. It's a very enabling company, and I think they do flourish in there. But as Andy said, once they've achieved what they wanted to achieve, they probably find, especially in the case of the guy, the retail guy, you know, the JCPenney guy, he probably just came to the end of the track and said, right, I've achieved everything I wanted to achieve. Let's move on. Let's move onwards and upwards. it's got to be the only reason that they actually do leave. Yeah. And again, the Steve Jobs thing, I still think Steve is very much the figurehead of Apple, and I think everyone is cultured and brought up to think
he's a totem pole.
Yeah. And I really do think that, although it's going to be, you know, a sad day when he does leave eventually for whatever reason, that Apple will carry on for a good while following that, because he has built up the culture inside the company. And also as well, you know, we hear tales of the people who are in there actually documenting and formulating Apple's processes and procedures, so that, you know, it's not that size of company just can't work off just one person's ideas and inspirations, although that's a major point of it. You know, it's a whole culture, and people, you know, get in there, they do a job, they do the best they can, they get as far as they can, and then they move on. I think that's just a standard thing in industry.
We all know, of course, that Steve Jobs' whole entire personality and entity, when they build a new building, will be absorbed into the central core, and it will become the very heart of the computing network that is Apple, of course. iPhone 5 rumors. Sorry.
No.
It's coming. It's coming someday, for sure.
We got a picture here from Chunky Cam, and it's showing, allegedly, the front of a new iPhone. This is apparently iPhone 5 covers, according to Mac Rumors. What do we think? Do we care? Have we lost the will to them?
It'll be hit soon enough.
Andy, are we going to get an iPhone 5? No, not, I need when, by the way, as well.
I was going to say that I have very good sources, and I've heard from multiple sources, because I'm a journalist. I do try to cross-check these things. 5 is indeed a higher number than 4. I don't know if anybody that's been discussed before. I've been out for
the thank you for show. The clarifying.
Other than that, I mean, yeah, at some point, doesn't it all just compress together into just clicks, pops, and buzzes in your ear saying iPhone 5 curved screen, new cases, 8 megapixels, 4G?
There's a question at the moment, though, Andy, whether there's going to be more than one iPhone 4, you know, iPhone small light thing, iPhone cruiser only. And I've got this thing in my head that every look at all of the adverts that Apple have done, they've always talked about the iPhone. It's an iconic universe, you know, unit. It's a thing. It's the iPhone. And I just don't see them saturating that market with multiple iterations.
This is part of a lot of really good sources have been talking about plans about doing, for instance, a dirt cheap or a free free with contract iPhone. And I can't wrap my head around the idea of Apple trying to sell a $200 or $250 phone and having one that's not last year's model, not the iPhone 3GS, but something that is competitive with the $300, $250 model, and is trying to sell that dirt cheap. I can't, when I say that, I think that's, I don't mean that's a stupid idea or a stupid rumor. I'm saying that I personally can't wrap my head around that. I find it a lot easier to believe that maybe the one that we're going to see in the fall is going to be more of an incremental upgrade, just like the difference between the 3G and the 3GS, that they'll take the standard iPhone 4
i6 processor.
Yeah. Exactly. They'll do a component upgrade, and pretty much that's it. And they're saving. It really is a big deal from people who've been talking to me about this sort of stuff. When Apple decides to, they know that they can only go up one digit once to the iPhone 4, iPhone 5. So I do think they're saving iPhone 5, the name, for something that does things that the iPhone 4 could never do, as opposed to it's the iPhone 4, only it's faster, only takes better pictures. So, but in the end, I mean, who knows? As always with Apple, there were times when I've been absolutely convinced of one thing. There have been times when someone has shown me some really solid proof of what's going to be happening soon, and then what actually happens is absolutely nothing like that. So I've been chagrined, I've been humiliated, I've been humbled, I've been reminded that in the end, I'm but an imperfect vessel for the universe's perfection, and I know that rumors are just rumors until I'm actually holding an Apple product in my hand.
Fanboy, what do you reckon?
Well, I can see I have an answer to it now. It's terrible. See, I used to think that they would take the same routes as they did with the iPod. I mean, they came out with the iPod. And then over time, they then started to differentiate between the different models so they could bring it in at different price points. But in retrospect, if you think about it, I mean, the iPod, they were able to do that because it was based on capacity. I mean, the only major difference was size and capacity, you know, how many songs you could actually carry in your pocket. But with the iPhone, it's different because it's a phone and it's a mini computer. And, you know, I'm sure Apple aren't interested in just bringing out a mini iPhone, that's just a phone. That's not what they're about. They're about the overall experience. They're about the device that has a phone tagged onto it, really. So I, at this point in the game, I would think that I wouldn't see they'd actually start splitting up the iPhone into a multi-layer product. I think they're going to, as you say, just stick with a single iPhone, and then it make it accessible by making it more cheaply by bringing down the manufacturing costs, etc. So although I did originally think they would split it, I'm starting to doubt that now. I think they're going to focus just on the iPhone, and that's going to be And if you want a cheaper iPhone, get last year's model.
Guys.
I think Apple could be a bit careful here because of the great thing about Apple has always been when they have brought something new out, even slightly the jump between iPad 1 and iPad 2, it's significant enough to make people almost want to quickly sell what they had on eBay and buy the new one so much better, But, an iPhone 4G or, whatever the equivalent is, it's starting to lose its gloss a bit. It's starting to sound a bit like other phone manufacturers, like a Nokia, where they just sort of brought out an N8 or an N9 or an N75 or an N80. It's just a slightly more advanced because it's 3 months further down the line. So they've got to be careful to make each incarnation of the iPhone something a big leap, because otherwise they're just becoming another manufacturer of incrementally bigger, better phones. Only phone they make.
Don't you mean who's taking the piss? They just become another manufacturer who's taking the piss out of the consumers.
Well, no, but the other manufacturer, say take Nokia, for example, they had 10 ranges of phones, so they could incrementally just add a bit to each one and change the number up a bit. Apple make one phone. They make the iPhone. So if they're going to up it, they've got to up it in a big way each time. Each leap has to be significant. And I personally think the next worthwhile leap will be integration with the phone. I'd love to be able to come home with an iPhone 5 when I was watching a movie or something, and it be my handheld PC, and AirPlay or whatever, it will just buzz straight into my Apple TV, so I can carry on watching the movie that I was watching on my iPhone, and it will come on my telly or my Skype for my phone. So the phone will be the hardware, and everything else will just be the peripheral wirelessly. Because at the moment, if they do add something, a slightly better camera, which all the other manufacturers did, a better camera, slightly faster, I don't think it's enough anymore. I think they need a real big punch, That's my opinion, because if they just iterate up one section like all the other companies do, it will stop being an iPhone. It will just be another phone that Apple make, and I think they need that punch for each upgrade.
I think they learned a lot from the 3G. When the 3G came out, and then soon after that, the 3GS came out, I think Apple seen that and kind of said, not such a good idea, was it? I think they ticked a lot of people off at that time. 3GS became very popular because of the speed, and then we got into the 4. 4's been out for a year now. I think the only way that they're going to see this thing is to keep pushing it up a level. I keep saying this each and every week. I feel like, like I'm a broken record a bit, but everything to me is going to fall around the 5 thing. We're going to have an iPhone 5. I believe it's going to be coming out in September. We're going to be based around the whole cloud thing. We're going to be running the iOS 5. That's your new features. And from what we're seeing of the pictures that are leaking, if that is the phone, I'm still going with that 4.5-inch screen.
I've got to say, when I watched, I saw this picture this morning on Mac Rumors. I looked at it. I thought, that's like the Area 51 video where they dissect the aliens. It's all been staged. It just looks it, doesn't it? And actually, those trays that are in the distance, they're just photocopies, color photocopies. There you go.
Maybe that's where the tech comes from.
maybe that is the next iPhone. It's just a color photocopy.
There you go.
Right.
And people will buy it. They'll line up for it.
Don will polish it.
That's right.
It's so thin and light. It's foldable. It's an unbreakable screen. God bless you, Apple.
Don's cool thing will be a whole case of Windex.
Caution, screen may become brittle after 1,000 folds. Right. Have we got any cool thingies? Don, are you still talking to us?
Just about.
It's all right. Greeny will be back next week. I can divert all the flack at him instead then.
I go off that. Or even like a bad impression of me will do something to take the heat off.
Have you done Greeny's impression yet?
No, I'm still working on it. So I'm going to leave it for a live event and I'll have it sorted for then, you know. So.
Do it, mate. We'll do it for the Twitter. That'd be great.
We'll see. Right, my cool thingy. I'm going to go with a piece of software. A piece of software that's been out for a while, but it's just been bumped to version 3, and that's ScreenFlow, which is a fantastic screen recording software application that I use to do my screencasts. The nice thing about it is not only does it capture your screen, it actually allows you to edit it as well. And version 3 has got some brand new features in there, some nice new tweaks to the timeline, some extra annotations, and basically it's a really, really nice application. It's quite expensive. Well, it's not that expensive, actually. It's $69.99 in the Mac App Store. But if you're interested at all in making screencasts, it's the whole, you know, it's the real deal. You can do everything from capture to record and export all in a single package.
I think the thing with ScreenFlow as well is just how easy it is, the UI as well, and how to use.
Yeah, it's very simple. It doesn't, I mean, I full disclosure, I use ScreenFlow to capture and some basic editing, and then I move things across into Final Cut Pro to do some of the more advanced stuff. But, you know, 99% of people who just wanted to create a standard screencast to show friends or family or whatever can just get it and do the whole thing from, it's got everything from soups to nuts, really.
Excellent. Great pick, mate. Great pick. Andy, did you bring anything for us?
I didn't intend to, because again, it's early. That's realize that every time I screw up on the show, I'm going to be.
We can come back to you though.
Time zone. No. So that's okay, because I've got a plan B. It's not technically Mac oriented, but anybody who's a cool person who owns a Mac would want this. There is an artist by the name of Karen Hallion. She's K Hallion, Hallion on Etsy. So if you go Etsy.com and go to Karen Hallion, she's made this really, really cool Alphonse Mucha version of Princess Leia. Princess Leia poster. And so people have said that this is not the correct French for the Princess of Alderaan, but good heavens, look at this print.
It's very good.
I like it a lot. I like it so much that I actually wound up buying like 3 versions of it, because it was originally available as a t-shirt design. So I bought the t-shirt in 2 sizes to make sure that I got the right size. And then I bought the print because I want this on my office wall, and I want to look at it forever and ever and think about how happy it makes me when I see this print.
Your obsession with Leia is legendary, mate.
I've got an obsession with good art, sir.
Oh, sorry, my mistake.
You may not like art. You may resent it for the way that it elevates the masses and makes people think about the higher things in life, because you just want them under your iron boot heel. Well, it's freedom fighters like Karen Hallion that will always put you back in your place every single time. Don't you forget it.
Well said. Well said.
Andy's got a girlfriend. Andy's got a girlfriend.
Hey, man, if she could run like that, I'll buy her dinner and I'll even whatever. Anyway,
Alex.
Oh, I didn't know we were allowed artists. I know thousands of them.
I've kind of jumped appearing on you today because we had a bit of a problem.
No, I have got one, and it was even before I got on the show, or asked rather. I was lying in bed last night thinking, I've got a cool thingy that it sounds really sycophantic, but I've got to say it. And my cool thingy is the guru that is Don McAllister. Since Lion came out, I've been banging my head against a blooming brick wall because I haven't been able to easily slide and make my icons, especially my photo icons, big enough for me to see without having to open up Bridge or any of these other things to be able to quickly flick through one of the 1,000 photos I took the day before. And it was really getting on my nerves. And I wrote on an Apple discussion board, and the moderator, I think it's called, said, no, we got rid of that. And then Ewan actually put a question up on Twitter saying, where's it gone? Because Ewan's a little bit behind everyone else with Lion. And I wrote back saying, oh, it's gone. It's terrible. And we can't cope with it. And I'm going to go back to Snow Leopard and I hate the world. And Don jumped in, and it was almost like he had his cape and his arm out and a special Don McAllister on the back of it. He said, "No, lads, I can save the day here." And he told us very quickly and very simply, just with a couple of clicks, and it's back.
Mac boy,
there you go.
It's MB. Mac boy.
And you know what? The coolest thing I've seen all week is definitely Don McAllister.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Oh, by the way, this week's Screencast Online is a free one this week, and it's all about, the full show is The Finder and Safari, but the free one is about half an hour all about The Finder. So there's lots of little things like that. So go across to the site and have a look at the free Finder show. There's lots of useful tips in there.
For everyone that's lost.
Straight away.
Don can get changed in under a second in a Mac Pro.
Question is, though, does he keep the glasses?
No, of course not.
Can't see without my glasses.
Everyone would know who he was. His secret identity would be out. Kyle, what have you got for us?
Something that I got to play with actually yesterday on actually a friend's iPad, and it is just the coolest thing. It's called The World by National Geographic. It's an iPad app. It's $4.49. Apparently, it is currently the iPad of the week in over 20 countries, and it's just so cool. It's got a 3D spinning globe on it. It's high resolution pictures. It beats the hell out of maps and all. It's just cool. It's $4.49 cool, which is probably why I haven't got it yet. But it's a really neat app. I was sitting there just playing with it on and on and on yesterday until the guy wanted his iPad back. And I don't know. Just try it. That's all I say. If you've got $5 burning a hole in your pocket right now, I know the dollar isn't worth what it used to be, but try it out.
Because I really spend it now.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Before it gets any worse.
Before it's $7.49, $10.49.
Chat room saying Don McAllister is Macman.
I read that, and I'm looking at a picture of Don as Don fanboy on here, and I just can you remember the picture of Pac-Man? This, you know, circular thing. I can just envisage Don's glasses and the moustache and everything. Just we could make a game called Macman, and it would fit perfectly within the same.
Don could eat Windows.
My round globe head with glasses on.
Exactly.
Don McAllister would be eating ignorance.
iOS developer, there we go. There's a thing for you. Don's standing there going, hey, calm down. And Gaz says he knows a piss artist. So, uh-huh. Anyway. My pick is a piece of software that I learnt this week. I sat down and decided I was going to teach myself Motion. So I bought it, and Motion is powerful beyond belief, and I've only just scratched the surface in a day. But within a sort of 20 minutes, I managed to make myself a nice picture of, took one of NASA's images, cut the shuttle out, cut the Earth out, reproduced the Earth a few times and made it into a big circle, and then rotated it behind and watched it spin. And the results are phenomenal. I mean, I'm showing a little video there of the space shuttle spinning above the Earth. You can change the spin rates on it. The wife told me off because she said it was too fast, but it's not. I had a look on the video, and it's about right. But it's really easy to use. And then I got a bit of a obsession on me, and I spent 6 hours cutting to pieces a picture of an eagle that I'd taken a picture of, a bald eagle, and trying to make it fly in motion. And I didn't do so bad. I managed to get the layers to separate, and I got the thing to nearly kind of flap its wings. That took a while, but there you go. But Motion is easy to use. It's, if you've got the iLife interface in your head, the UI is superb. It's dead easy. It's so powerful. And like I said, all I've done is just do basic tracking stuff. I haven't even got onto anything that's more component-based or difficult, but I'm getting there. I'm going to have a go this week for sure. Motion, £35-ish, something like that in the Mac App Store, but God, worth every penny, 10 times worth every penny.
Carl just fell off the back of his chair when you said £35.
We've had a fairly expensive pick week, haven't we? No one's done a free thing.
Well, Don. Don's free screencast.
Yeah, my show's free this week.
Your show's free. Okay, that's fair enough.
That's right.
Last word goes to our sponsors, UK2.net. They are the people who keep us alive. They are everything to us. The bandwidth is sucked up. 4 terabytes of audio files disappeared last month off the server. And they pick up all the bandwidth. They've moved us off the server that we were on because we broke it. And they've put us on a new one. And the new one, thanks to Kyle, every week. And they've put us on a brand new server that flies, extra nodes, the whole thing. If you want to buy anything from UK2, you would be supporting us by supporting them. Go to our website, you'll see the logo there, click on it, and that'll take you through to their website. They'll know that we've sent you. And then what you can do is buy whatever you want, and when you check out, you've got two choices. If you want 15% off what you've bought, just type in Bagel Tech, and you'll get 15% off your shopping basket. If you're looking for transfer of your existing sites and you're doing a domain name move, then there is a charge that UK2 have for DNS management. That does not apply to Bagel Tech listeners. So if you are moving a domain over, instead of putting in Bagel Tech as your offer code, put in Bagel DNS, all one word, and that'll negate the DNS management charge. So Bagel DNS to remove your DNS management charge and Bagel Tech to get a 15% discount. Please, please, please support them. They mean everything to us. We would be utterly lost without them. And also support Don McAllister as well, because he's fantastic, even though we take the piss out of him. And his screencasts, if you go through our website again and type in Bagel Tech as your offer code, you get 50% off all of Don's screencasts for joining for the first 3 months. So well worth it. Last, where can we get a hold of you fellas? Don?
Screencastonline.com, or you can find me over at my blog at themaxscreencastguy.com and also Twitter as Don McAllister.
Brilliant. Andy, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
If you can spell my last name, I'm Anotko on Twitter. You can hit my blog at anotko.com. I'm Andy Anotko on Google+. And if you can't spell my last name, just go to cwob.com for the celestial waste of bandwidth. That has links to all those cool sites.
Excellent, mate. Alex, you...
Yeah, you can get me at Alex G Fox on Twitter, or you can get me alex@twitterything.com.
And you're sticking around for the Mac show, which is going to, with the photo show, which is going to follow on after this.
I have stuck around for the Mac show. I'll do the photo show afterwards.
Good man. Kyle, where can we get you?
You find me at kyleswagger.com, swagger with 1G. You can find me on Twitter as well, at swagger.
You broke up there, so no one's got any idea where to get you.
Oh, that's wonderful. You can find me at my really crappy ISP. That would be PLDT. Other than that, you can find me at twitter.com/KyleSwagger.
The luxury of 5 megabits a second.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
At least you don't have to listen to the dial-up sound. You get the speed, but not that.
Exactly right. Moving up in technology, man.
I'm sitting here with 100 down and 10 up.
Oh! I don't really like you right now, just so you know.
We'll be back in 20 minutes with the photo show, and we'll have some fun there. Thanks very much for joining us. Have a great weekend.